The Money Show. Business Unusual.
Business Unusual brought to you by FNB Business, the bank that recognizes business innovation excellence. Into the FNB Business Innovation Awards at fnbbusinessinnovationawards.co.za. Colin Callis, I thought email was so last week, maybe even last year. Certainly it was around in the last century. Is it still a business thing?
It certainly is not that cool anymore, but the only thing that's actually bigger than it still is mobile phones. There are 2.67 billion people with email addresses, and most of those people have got more than one, so you can imagine there's a lot of access to it. But the thing that got me wondering, what is the state of email, was that story last week with the unfortunate person at the NHS, the health system in the UK, who was testing out their mail system and inadvertently sent a mail to all of the 840,000 people on the NHS's database email system. And after realizing, gosh, I've just really, you know, caused a tsunami wave of emails to go out. It was a blank email, but just said test. So you can imagine one of those things. But of course, when people started receiving this blank email, they started replying to all to say, I don't want this. And their service fell over. And they took the whole day to try and get them back up again, which is not great if you're running a medical service. You know, health systems are not supposed to go down. So that got me kind of interested to say, well, what is the state of it? And so this evening I've got a little bit of a history of email, because it's actually, you know, 45 years old now.
What?
1971 was the first one that they sent off. And I thought, you know, just the history is kind of boring. So who's the best in its class? And it's a tiny, it's not a tiny company. It's a quiet company called MailChimp, who's been around since 2001, only really started getting into the email marketing stuff in 2006, and opened it up in 2009. And I heard you say earlier, and I actually gave you incorrect information, to say they've got 1 million customers. They have 14 million customers sending those billion emails per day. In fact, I'm willing to bet that anybody listening right now, including you, Bruce, received one from them in the last week.
I detest their existence. I detest their place on this planet. I hate the fact that I receive email. And I know you say it's not spam, but it is spam. It's unsolicited email into my inbox, which they think is targeted, but it is usually 99.99. I don't think I've ever received an email via MailChimp that I found useful. So we can have a debate about that if you like.
Well, exactly. And it's one of the things that they're very keen to try and work on. But let's just go for a quick little history thing. So as I said, 1971, they send the first email.
Ignored my rant.
No, your rant is legit. I will address it.
Thank you.
I'm not being the president here. In the 80s, it was still common practice that you'd send an email, and the service who existed, that they would then print it out, put it in an envelope, and mail it to the person who needed to receive it, because there just weren't that many people on it yet. It was only actually called email by the 90s, because prior to that, it had all sorts of nerdy sort of names. So the name email, we only got from there. And it gave us, or rather, it got the old at sign to come back into existence. Because prior to that, it was a very much disused thing, but it did exist on the keyboards. Nobody knew why they put it on a keyboard, but it was there. And in the 70s, when they came off, how do you tell a person and a company? So well, then they use the at sign to mix it up. These days, Twitter probably says we made it famous, but there you go. And how's this for the first group email sent from one of those guys in these early, early days, send it off to 400 other people. Now, you can imagine 400 people with emails back in those early days, probably influential people. But supposedly that group email returned $13 million worth of business, probably telling them, hey, how'd you like to have an email system that you can mail to a whole bunch of people? However, your point, 30%, and it's growing, is spam. And it's companies like MailChimp that actually wanted to reduce it. So when you have an email marketing company, they understand that their business is having people receive emails that they want rather than having them spam with things they don't. That kind of spam comes from people who don't care if you ever subscribe or unsubscribe or try and unsubscribe. They're usually sending you scams, not actual email marketing, and they take over other people's computers and pretend to be that computer. So when they're trying to fish, and phishing is a little term we can use here, they try and get you to give up information by cloning their emails to make it look like your bank, typically, or these days your email service provider, or any of these other ones where a lot of your password protection and resetting passwords go, so they can then get into the rest of your system. So something to definitely be wary about. MailChimp's taken a completely different route, and the first sort of thing that's different about them is that they decided not to try and get venture capital. They were a small company. They remained a small company and only grew as their business grew. So people paid for stuff. They delivered a service. They grew as it went along. They didn't chase a big IPO. They're still a private company. Two co-founders still own the business since 2001. And they've grown not in Silicon Valley. They're based in Atlanta. And to deal specifically with the issue, for example, of spam, etc., they've created a product called Omnivore. And this is where email marketing really has gotten quite sophisticated. So when you've got a list of subscribers to an email address, and for example, your show, Bruce, has one that goes out every week to people who subscribe for stories around the Money Show. And on that list, they will receive an email, and at the bottom in every single MailChimp thing is that unsubscribe button, which is a legitimate unsubscribe. You can't stick people back on. But MailChimp watches that when we send out that email, how many people open it? How many people unsubscribe? How many people, you know, does it bounce? It says this person doesn't.
So they do care, because I keep clicking unsubscribe to every single thing, rubbish press release that has got absolutely no relevance to any human being on the planet other than to the three people involved in sending it. And I wonder whether or not it's ever, it's ever gonna, you know, if it ever make a difference.
No, I suspect that we're not going to get rid of the problem, because ultimately the number one reason for spam is individuals sending stuff that was unsolicited. A company wouldn't want to really damage its reputation by sending you things you really don't want. They'd rather want to entice you and make it worth your while. And, you know, there is a legitimate benefit to somebody who says, for example, Black Friday coming up, if you want to get a bunch of specials and sales, you will receive a bunch of emails saying, here's some of the options you can consider. That would be to your benefit. After it has come and gone and you're no longer interested, well, then unsubscribe and you can resubscribe at any future time. The hassle comes if I'm an unscrupulous person trying to send you, for example, information about something. I just keep sending you. You have to then block me or register me in some other way. And this is where the email clients start getting good. So if you're using Gmail, Outlook, or any one of the other ones, they've actually got settings on that'll say, listen, you've recognized this person or this email a domain, block them. Or they will simply understand that you're getting a lot of stuff from this email address that you don't respond to. And it'll stick it into like a junk mail or a clutter thing. And it just kind of disappears. So to be fair, you might be irate at how much emails you get that you don't want to see, but I'm willing to bet you double that amount you're not seeing anyway, because they're actually filtering it out for you already. It is a serious problem, but they are working relatively hard to sort it out. That's one half of the equation, right? The other half of email and why it's kind of fallen out of favor is that we're actually quite bad at managing it, because there's nothing worse than opening up a mailbox and then seeing these hundreds of unopened emails and just feeling like, oh, I'm never going to get on top of that. So I've got three small bits. Hopefully MailChimp is doing its bit to kind of clean up the mail world. And then here are three things that individuals can do to try and sort it out.
I'm writing them down.
Manage your risks would be number one. And a lot of people who maybe don't receive that many emails, and you should be receiving somewhere in the order of 100, then your average. If you're receiving a lot more than that, wow, time to unsubscribe to stuff. If you're getting a whole lot less than that, be careful. You might be targeted for the scammers, because you don't get a lot of emails. So you tend to think everything is kind of true and you tend to respond to everything. Assume everything is fake. Don't click links from your bank and other things like that, especially not when they want to say, oh, please fill in your passwords or please give me this. That is phishing, so just don't do it. Then manage the size of your inbox. And there's a principle called inbox zero. It's almost a feeling of absolute elation when your inbox is empty. And the way to deal with that is to say you only ever deal with an email once. You receive it at some other point and you either decide, I'm going to file this for potential future use. I'm going to put it somewhere where I need to act on it. I have to send somebody a reply, or I need to go to a meeting or something like that. Or I throw it in the bin. And once you've dealt with it, you never go back. That's how you keep your inbox with 100 plus emails potentially coming in every day manageable. And the final one, and this is particularly difficult with mobile phones, is you don't check it all the time. This is not an instant message. This is not a phone call. This is not something that needs you to look at it constantly throughout the day. It's very distracting. And for the most part, you just feel like you can't be very productive. So choose one or two or three times in the day when you check it. And all you do during those periods is decide what you're keeping, what you're chucking out. And then you designate another time in the day. Mid of the day is probably not a bad idea, where you go through what it is you said you're going to do. So if you needed to set up meetings or reply to people, then you do it. And that's it. That's your email niche for the day. And after a certain time, don't look at the stuff. Just leave it. It's fine to leave it for the next day. Now, getting the discipline to do that is probably going to be quite hard.
Impossible.
But that's the small steps you take until finally you can say, okay, here's another one that some people do. Is just clear the mailboxes after a certain period. Anything that's older than a month, just delete it. If it was that important, somebody's going to come back to you.
So, a useful tool. Now, who sent the first ever email?
So this was a guy, the company's name was DEC, Digital Electronic Corporation or something like that. And it really grew out of the fact that they had built this ARPANET, this sort of precursor to the internet, and they needed to exchange files. And well, a file in their mind was, I needed to say something to somebody, so I'm going to send them this file. This was then called a message file. And the whole email system, which actually, it predates the internet. The internet only came in the 90s, so we kind of forget that the internet was around for a very long time.
Sure.
It was based on that. It is the original disruptor, because I can tell you this, that after that date in 1971, post offices around the world have gone into terminal decline.
Yeah.
At one point, the U.S. post office thought they might offer email. And then they rejected as being, no way will this crazy thing kind of take on. Yeah, they have, I think it was in the 90s already, they said, look, listen, we missed the boat on this one. Let's try and try our best to not disappear.
A guy called Ray Tomlinson sent the first email. Do you know what it said?
It was half of a hello. I think the system crashed before he got to finish it. But he's quite famous.
The text apparently was something like QWERTY UIOP. He didn't even bother to, like, say, Dr. Watson, could you come over here, please, like Alexander Graham Bell did. He just sent something random from the top keys of his keyboard.
Yeah, apparently, and he only died quite recently, but he's often asked that sort of thing. And if my memory serves, this is why it was a good one to verify, because, you know, the internet's version of the history can be interesting, is that he couldn't remember exactly what he'd sent and that it did actually fail. So the first message failed. The second message was whatever was in there, but that's now lost to history. So, you know, if it was some random bunch of characters, I wouldn't blame him, because the first one failed. He had to reboot the system, which probably took 10 minutes. So in the end, he just said, listen, I'm just anything, just make it work. Rather than realizing, hey, I'm about to transform the form of communication for humanity forevermore.
Colin Cullis with Business Unusual on a Wednesday night.